go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, concerning food offered to idols. Now, what would be a food offered to idols? What would it be? Can we take a scripture, interpret it ourselves, and make it food for an idol? Yes. Food for an idol.
Because it's without understanding.
It's without understanding. Yeah, let's go on to this. We know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up. Next thing, but love builds up. So knowledge does what? Puffs up. But love builds up. What's the difference between puffing up and building up?
Building is on a foundation.
Oh, a building has a foundation. Okay. It has a place of beginning. Puffing up. You ever seen a blowfish?
Yeah.
They just puff up, right? And there's no substance to what they say, no substance to what they do. The substance that we hope for is faith, right? So faith is the evidence of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. So if I have substance that edifies, now I can build. Now I have a place of beginning. Now I have a place that I know. Very important.
Well, in the puffing up is usually about self, right? Exalting
always,
self.
It always exalts self. Puffing up always exalts self. And we're going to discover that tonight. If anyone imagines that he knows something, first of all, what's working? Oh, the imagination. What did we just say the imagination was? A consciousness. Now we're beginning to relate some things in the mind. If you're reading the Bible and you begin to hear a word and you begin to interpret that word yourself, you're thinking you already know something about that word, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you waiting upon the Spirit of God to bring the interpretation of that word to where it becomes the knowledge of the Holy? Or are you okay with it being just the knowledge of what you think it is in your imagination?
I think sometimes I'm okay because I don't realize.
Yeah, we do not realize that we're interpreting for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you been told that in your mind you begin to create images?
Yep.
And in those images, that it's taking you into a place where the consciousness of those images is not from the Father, formed by the Word of God, but where did it come from?
Came from your own imagination.
Came from your own imagination. Listen, folks. This is an amazing thing because how many of us have read all the Bible stories of the Old Testament? I mean, I grew up on them, so I know them well. And we have all formed an imagination about those Bible stories,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you have been patient enough to wait upon the Father to give you the interpretation of the Bible stories as he spoke it into reality? Well, it comes from the right consciousness, right? So even when God was speaking it to Noah, how it's written is one thing, but the understanding of the truth of it is a completely another.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that'd be a right prayer. It becomes very important then that waiting upon God, because who's the interpreter of all things? God is. That's what the scriptures say. God is the interpreter. So when I begin to interpret myself, then I begin to err, because if anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. So now the most important thing to us is to do what?
Love God.
Love God. What's the first commandment?
Love.
To love the Lord your God. Love God. You love God, God loves you. Here's the next thing. You love God, God's going to love who you love. Does that mean that if I love God, God's going to love who I love? Then in the spirit, what in the world do I have access to when it comes to all that God is in me? All that you love and have ever loved. Past, present, future. Past, present, future. Folks, when we talk about these things, we are talking about what God has, what God sees you as. He sees you as something far greater than just you in the flesh. He knows everything about you from the beginning of creation. The minute the word came into his consciousness and he spoke it to form you, from that moment, God knew everything about you, your generations, everything. I'm not withholding anything when I say he knew everything. And you, how can God do that? He is God. He is God. Just a moment ago, we were talking about parents or siblings that have passed away. I want you to hear something tonight. They are not dead. That's why the greatest thing that you can learn in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that this Jesus whom we serve, he is the resurrection and the life. He's just not your resurrection. He's the resurrection of all things in the Father. God has something for you to know based upon his declaration or based upon his imagination or based upon his consciousness of what he knows it to be in himself. And in giving you the word of God, he is freeing you from a false imagination or a false thought or a consciousness that doesn't exist in him. It only exists in you. Now imagine that. And in it, you make it food for an idol. And it puffs you up because you think you know something that you do not know. And I can test it real quickly. How could I do that, John?
Yeah, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, so
ask a question.
You think you got it? You get right up here and you sit next to me and you begin to testify about what you have seen in the Father in the power of his resurrection and the lives that are in it. God wants you to know. Hear me. God wants you to know. The word that he put in you to form the new creation in you came from him. That word has the power to form every thought that is in the Father in you. Do you ever think about these things?
No, but he wants us to know him.
He wants us to know
everything.
If you love God, God knows you. Hear me. If you love God, God knows you. Therefore, now listen to these next two scriptures. Powerful. Therefore, as to eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence. Why? Why would it have no real existence?
It's not alive.
It's not in the consciousness of God. That's why it has no real existence. It did not come from the Father. That's pretty cool, I think. I think that's an awesome thing to know. What made it an idol was my own imagination. It has no existence in God. So does it have substance in the spirit, John? No, it has no substance in the spirit. Thus, listen to this. It has no substance in love. Can you imagine? So I go around loving things that have no substance. That's true, folks. We love things that have no substance.
We do.
Because it's easy. It doesn't require anything of us. It does not require anything of us to love something that has no substance. It should be disturbing, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence and that there is no God but one. Now listen to this next one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, do you hear that one, John? For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or in earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us, there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, from whom all things and through whom we exist. I want you to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to start reading. I'll just start reading with verse 1. And we've read it many times, right? This is not a new scripture. It's not foreign to us. Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or by a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. When we come together, there are many words spoken, correct? Mm-hmm. And sometimes an alarm goes off in the mind. And immediately, what do we do when that happens? What do we do with it? When that alarm goes off in the mind, what do we do?
Sometimes we go into condemnation.
Or we chase it.
Yeah, we chase it.
And the minute we start chasing a thought, what are we creating? An idol. We are creating the existence of an idol.
We want to fix it.
No.
We just want to understand
it. We want to understand it and not wait for the interpretation of the Father who gave it. We want to create the interpretation of it ourselves. Why do we think? Listen, folks. It's because we know how to create idols. We know how to create demigods. We know how to create demi-lords. We're good at it. Folks, there are many times when we hear something in the spoken word, and rather than let God form the consciousness or the image from which he spoke it in heaven, we want to chase the revelation in and of ourselves. And what do we do? Well, what does that do to us? We just read it. It what? Puffs us up. Because people did not know how to handle revelation of the Word of God. They did not know how to do it. And not knowing how to do it, we created idol after idol after idol. You know, in the Old Testament, kings had idols. And they would build great groves to put the idol in to protect it. And then when God would raise up the man of God, God would tell the prophet, you go and destroy those groves and those idols. You take them out. Folks, I am telling you tonight, the work of God in the power of his word, in the fellowship of his sufferings, is to tear down every grove and every idol that we have created, because none of it, not one aspect of it, is going into the kingdom of heaven. We want it to happen. If we love God, right? If we love God, that's what we want to have happen. Okay. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way. What did that just say? Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. I know the King James says it completely different than that. Actually, it says it the same, just uses different words. Who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 13. Starting with verse 1. Now listen to this. Listen closely tonight, folks, because this is where God has us today. That word of faith has come. That word of faith is nigh in your mouth and in your heart. And it has a work to do. And if you think that you're not going to become a partaker in Christ's sufferings because of faith, you have mistaken of the word of faith. You don't understand it. If a prophet, okay, Deuteronomy 13 and 1, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder. Now, this is in your consciousness. This is in you. This is in you. And the sign or the wonder that he tells you comes to pass. And if he says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. Do you know that the minute that you go into your own private interpretation, you are following a false prophet? You are following a dreamer of dreams? You are being led astray? You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you. Yes, he's proving you. To know whether, listen to this, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Did you hear that, John? He is proving you. He's testing you to see how much you love the Lord. Or do you love yourself more? Do you love the God's thought or do you love your own thought? The demigod or the demi-lord thought, right? As Gary, little g God, right? Little g God, as Gary would say. What do you love more?
A lot of that's our own traditions, the way we used to think, religion.
All of it, Connie. Yeah.
Well, that's our own interpretation.
It's your own.
But you have to give that up.
You have to turn from it. That's why God's going to make it manifest. God's going to make it manifest. This is the test. God's going to make it manifest to prove whether you love him or not. If you love God, what are you going to do?
Repent.
I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn from that thought. I'm going to get rid of that thought, and I'm going to say, God, give me the truth. Let Jesus come and let me walk in the truth. Let me walk in the light as he is in the light. Isn't that awesome? Now, let me ask you a question. There are many levels of consciousness. In other words, the word that God gave you has a consciousness, but in that consciousness are many levels of understanding. Because when you receive it as a babe, you're in one level. As you grow in that word, you move to a child, from a babe to a child, from a child to what? A young man, from a young man to a father. And there are many fathers. So all of a sudden, the maturity of the word that you take on from understanding or from loving God becomes great. It becomes as a mustard tree, right? From a little seed comes a mustard tree, which even the birds of the air can find their protection in. It becomes inevitable, folks, that we love God. That we love God. You know that you can forsake every other love you know and love the Lord your God, and in that love, he will put the love of everything you've ever loved back in you. Only it will be right. It'll be righteous. It'll be holy. Because God is holy. God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. Keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and hold fast to him. So who, you follow that dreamer of dreams, that false prophet, or are you going to follow God? I'm going to follow God. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. What's he going to do with the consciousness that caused you to go into sin?
He's going to just burn it up.
He's going to take it out of the way. He's going to remove it. Because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God. Oh my goodness. What did he teach you to do, John?
Rebel.
Rebel.
We were good students.
What is rebellion in the scriptures? What?
Witchcraft.
Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You know what? Entertainment causes us to do? But that prophet, that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery to make you leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. That's what I love about God being the interpreter. When God's the interpreter, there's no gray area. There's only the truth. There's only the magnificence of who he is in power. Because the kingdom of heaven belongs to who? It belongs to God. It belongs to God. And only the righteousness of God can enter in. That's why he put that word of faith in you, to form in you the righteousness of himself. Because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery, to make you leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. Now, this next part is vital, because now it talks about the aspects of your soul. And the aspects of your soul, are they vital in you? Do you think about them all the time? Do you pray for them? Listen to this. If your brother, the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or the wife you embrace, or your friend, who is as your own soul, entices you to secretly saying, let us go and serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, some of the gods of the peoples who are around you, whether they be near you or far off from you, from the end of the earth to the other, you shall not yield to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him. In other words, you shall not work worldly sorrow towards them. That's a biggie right there, isn't it? Your eye shall not pity him, nor shall you spare him, nor shall you conceal him. Listen, the aspects of your soul. This is talking about you. This is talking about God knows who you are. He formed you, right? So every aspect of the soul, your brother, your friend, your wife, your daughter, everything we read there, correct? Your brother, the son of your mother, your son or your daughter, the wife you embrace, or your friend, the five aspects of the soul, they are your soul. They are what form thought in you by the word of God. That's what they are, John. And so what's the first one that God wants to redeem in the aspect of the soul? The son. God says so. God thinks so. What's God been after for all these years? What does he call you? In prophecy, he calls you the son of God. Is he after the son? What's the next one that he's going to be after? It's been told you before. What's she to me? What's Connie to me? The wife. He's after her. Same with you. Same with you online. Well, I don't have a wife, some of you could say. Nope. That is not true. We're talking about your soul. I don't care if you're married or not. Your soul has the aspect of the wife in it. Your soul has the aspect of the brother. The soul has the aspect of the son. The soul has the aspect of the daughter. The soul has the aspect of the wife. The soul has the aspect of the friend. Ellen's question was, how come it doesn't have a husband? Oh, no, it does. His name is Jesus, just so you know. That's good. Well, see, you needed to speak it then, right? We've unlocked some things here tonight for us to begin to understand and for us to begin to think about. God is after the redemption of the soul, is he not? And in the soul are these five aspects. God has to define them for you, though. So we're going to do that. That's why we come to listen, correct? Because God's working. God's working greatly. Let me finish this. You shall not yield to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him, nor shall you conceal him, but you shall kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all people. This is why a lot of people don't serve God, right? Because God's wicked, man. God's not wicked. God's taken the evil out of your heart. God is taking out of you that which destroys you. Let him do it. Let him do it. God's after it. God knows how he created you, how he took that word of faith and put it in you, that seed in you. And in that seed is the creation of Jesus Christ. For the mystery of lawlessness, verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness, in the King James Version, it says the mystery of iniquity. That's what it says in the King James. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And Jesus is going to get out of the way. And that which works against your soul, that which works against you in the mystery of iniquity, is going to become manifest. And the lawless one will be revealed. So when Jesus gets out of the way, who's made manifest? The son of perdition? Is he now revealed? So let me ask you something. Jesus had to deal with the devil. Now what?
So do I.
Now you're going to deal with it.
But with his death.
But yes, you're not dealing with it on your own. You have that word of faith working in you. That is all of God in you. So now the Son of God, which is of faith, is now in you to take on that son of perdition in you. And we all have it. There's not one of us. There's no one listening to my voice tonight that does not have the son of perdition working in them. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus, did you hear this? Whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. Now, God put that word in you. He put that Jesus in you. He put that Jesus in you. And now that Jesus is going to open up his mouth and consume that lawless one. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. Why did we read Deuteronomy 13? That dreamer of dreams, that false prophet. Who put him there? Who put Satan in the garden, John?
God did.
God did.
To teach the son.
To teach the son. This whole thing is about the teaching of the son that you are, and to test you whether or not you love God or you love that Satan. When Adam had a choice to make, what did he choose? He listened to that Satan in that tree, John. And the aspect of the wife in his soul that was in Adam, the aspect of the wife in Adam's soul caused him to transgress the truth. That's what causes you to transgress it. An aspect of your soul told you that it was going to be okay. They lied to you. God told you the truth. God came first and told you. Did God come to Adam and tell him not to eat of that tree?
Yes.
And yet, in Adam was that wife that had not yet been converted. If Adam would have eaten of the other trees of the garden first, so he had the understanding of how to approach the tree, he would have been successful. Likewise, every one of you have the opportunity to talk to your elders, to talk to those who have understanding, so that when you are confronted by Satan, what do you have? You have the word of God in truth to take it on. Oh, try hiding in your own thoughts and taking it on. Try it. It will consume you quickly. Where was I? Oh, yeah. And the coming of those lawless ones is by the activity of Satan and with all power and false signs and wonders. Just as we read in Deuteronomy, right? It's the same. And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and to be saved. What did they refuse to love?
The truth.
Who's the truth?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus is the truth. Is he also God?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's God. Therefore, God sends them. Now listen to this. This is where we're going to end tonight. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion. What's a delusion? It's a great deception. We used to look at it this way: illusion, delusion, perversion. If you don't catch it, you will become, in your mind, you will become completely perverted when it comes to following the truth. And I'm not even going to suggest an example of that. It is not worth it. And it wouldn't help you. But it's been manifested. Hear me. It's been manifested here. Let's see. Therefore, God sends them strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that they may all be condemned. To believe what? In a strong delusion, what do they believe? The lie. They believe the lie, in order that they all may be condemned. So if you walk in condemnation, who are you not walking in? You're not walking in Jesus, are you? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in that Son, that Jesus, right, would not die. That's what he told them. But they would have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through that Jesus, they would all be saved. So if you're in condemnation, are you in life or death? You're in death. You've already died. That's where you be. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, we take great pleasure in our own thoughts. We take great pleasure in the way we think. And not in the way God thinks. God's turning it around for us. So, isn't he, John?
Oh, every day, Dave.
Every day. All right. Well, I've said a lot tonight. And I hope you spend some time meditating on these things that we've spoken and the scriptures we've brought to you tonight. I could go on for at least 4 more hours on this subject. But by the grace of God, I'm going to spare you tonight. But I tell you what, these things, they're deep in the heart. Because what does God not want to happen to any of you? God wants none of you to perish. None of you. None of you. He wants none of you to perish. He wants you all to be saved by the truth that is in Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the access. He's the only way in to the Father. I love it. Amen. So what are we going to preach?
Jesus.
We're going to preach Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to preach the truth.